11-year anniversary of Stating the Obvious podcast right here, right now, as we are recording this. Welcome, my friends. It is November the 1st, 2015, 11 motherfucking years of Stating the Obvious. Yes, yes, here's my ball sack. Lick it. My ball sack is dry. I need you to moisten it with your tongue. And what's been happening for the last 11 years? You have been wrong, and I have been right. Yes, that is how fucking amazing I am. I'm in a good mood today. I am in a really fucking good mood. You know why? Because I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I am an anarcho-capitalist. I am smarter than you statists will ever be. And this is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys stupid fucking statists all around the world. Femistatist, statheist, homostatist, tranny statist. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of statist you are. The machine guns will mow you the fuck down. Because you're a bunch of goddamn motherfucking sheep. And you I can't figure out what to do. Cause I need the government to tell me right from wrong. I'm so confused. Yes, I am the great one himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. In the control room, right over there on the other side of the glass, being seen and not heard the way women should be, is the lovely and adorable Randy. Today is, as I've already stated, this podcast is being recorded on the 11th... What? Okay, I'll try to stop. I'll get away a little further away from the microphone. Randy's informing me that I'm spiking the fuck out of the audio. Well, it's because I'm a loud motherfucker, and I like being a loud motherfucker, because when you're right... you get to be loud. Or if you're just a fucking feminist, or if you're just an idiot, then you can be really fucking loud too. What was I saying? Yes, the 11-year anniversary of Stating the Obvious podcast. For 11 motherfucking years, I've been doing this. Go fuck yourself. If you want to send me email, you want to send me love mail, you want to send me hate mail, you want to send me naked pictures of yourself, or I encourage you to only send naked pictures of yourself. Sending naked pictures of other people without their permission is what we'll call asshattery. I mean, you're violating their privacy, and you're just being a dickhead is what it is. So don't send naked pictures of other people. Just send naked pictures of yourself, especially if you're an attractive woman. Or if you're an attractive man, you can send the naked pictures. I'll pass them on to Randy. She has no problem looking at pictures of hot guys. All right. I have a martini in my hand. I have a really great attitude, mood, emotional state going on today. I just spent the day doing some really fun shit. Had a great time. I'm really happy. And I got a martini in my hand. I think I mentioned that. Plymouth Gin. I'm going to do a little free advertising here. For the 11th year anniversary of Stating the Obvious podcast, do some free advertising. Plymouth Gin is the best gin out there. And if you're making a martini, vodka martinis are disgusting. I don't care what you saw on James Bond. The shaken, not stirred part is correct. Vodka martini is incorrect. A martini should be made from gin. Vodka martinis are nasty. Free advertising there for Plymouth Gin. Okay. Let's kick some shit off. I got a pile. I always have piles. Because there's zero preparation here for this particular podcast. I've been doing podcast preparation for a while. I have so much, as always, I have so much shit to talk about and so little time because I have this thing called life and I go off and I do other things besides just stand here and rant at the microphone. So I've got this stack of articles from the... I haven't done many of these in a while. So for those of you new to the podcast, I live in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, Colorado. And here we have a university, Colorado State University. And it is everything you would expect from a college university. It is, I for those of you again new to the podcast, I worked at Colorado State for 8 years. It is very politically correct. It is very corrupt. If you go back many years ago in this podcast, you can hear me telling story after story after story of the corruption, the embezzlement, the employees stealing things from the university, just in plain sight, like taking university property and putting it in their cars and taking it home and not even attempting to hide what they're doing, because you could just openly steal from the university and nobody would give a shit, because the few people who did give a shit knew that there's nothing you could do about it. It was just futile to attempt reporting this. So anyhow, the Colorado State University has a student newspaper called The Collegian, and The Collegian is a source of endless entertainment. I have, right down there, I have a stack of op-ed columns written by college students that is well over, that spans the last year. And I'm going to actually get to those very soon. Those of you who've listened to podcasts for a while know that I've been talking about this for a long time. It's coming up, trust me, because it's finally reached critical mass where I can't hold off anymore. Right now, I have a stack of Collegian articles in front of me. We're not even going to come near close to getting through all of these in this particular podcast. But I think I'm just going to take this pile and just riff through it. The next series of podcasts are just going to be me going through this pile right here, except for this right here. I got to look this up. That goes in the other pile. So yeah, it's going to be me making fun of college students and drinking martinis. So get ready for it. Now this, normally I pre-read things. And I go through and I highlight and maybe make a couple of notes and stuff. This is an article because I like to experience my first reaction to reading stupidity, right? I mean, there's just something about, I pick up The Collegian and I open it and I see some stupid headline, you know, about white privilege or something like that. And so I start reading this article or this op-ed piece or whatever. And, you know, it's like having sex for the first time or something, right? It's this new experience. So every adventure into The Collegian is this new experience where, yeah, I just laugh. I just laugh at the stupidity. And so, of course, I read these, and then I get all the first experience out, and then I highlight, I make some notes maybe, and I think about what I'm going to say, and then I come back and do it on the podcast. And I thought, all right, this one is rich, this one is prime. I'm not going to pre-read this article, because I want to save that for the podcast. I want to capture my first responses live. I know, you don't give a fuck. You're out there going, hey, asshole, just read the fucking article and make fun of the statist. We really don't need to hear all the bullshit. And you're right, you don't give a shit. You're here for one of two reasons. You're either here to listen to me make fun of statist, or you're here because you're looking for, and you know, I love it when I get comments on YouTube from people who disagree. And first of all, I know good and goddamn well you did not listen to the 52-minute podcast before you start posting your disagreements. And I think the reason I don't understand this is because I don't have a life. I mean, I do have a life. Fucking Christ. I haven't drank that much. I've only had 3 beers. And those were spaced out. And I've just started a martini. I'm not drunk. People who go to the trouble of making and leaving the negative comments, especially when it's just like name-calling comments, because as I've said before, I have nothing against calling people names or being called names. That's why, like on the YouTube, where people leave comments on the YouTube calling me names, I don't delete them. I don't respond to them because I have a life. But I don't delete them. I have no problem with name calling. But as I've said before, yes, I call people names, right? You know this. If you've listened to this podcast, you know I almost constantly call people names and insult them. I referred to Julia in the previous Stating the Obvious series, where I talked about that stupid Russian princess cunt. I continuously refer to her referred to her, if I can fucking talk, as a Russian princess cunt. Repeatedly called her that, called her names on a regular, ongoing basis. But the name calling was intermixed with actual reasons and for why she was wrong, and legitimate logical criticisms of the shit that was coming out of her mouth. What all of that has to do with anything, I don't really know. And you know what? I don't have to know, because this is my fucking I know what I was talking about. Why you're listening to this. You're either listening to this to hear me make fun of statists, and you don't give a shit about anything I've said yet. You're just waiting for me to hurry up and get on and fucking make fun of statists. Or you're here because you're some sort of fucking hypersensitive social justice warrior fucking statist cunt. And you're looking for some reason here to hate me and to call me racist, sexist, homophobic. Well, if you're in that second category, let me save you some time. I'm racist, sexist, and homophobic. I think you're a fucking idiot. You're a stupid fucking femistatist, statheist, fucking homostatist, fucking tranny statist, statist social justice warrior, statist piece of shit. Yes, by your definitions, I'm racist, sexist, and homophobic. You don't need to listen to the podcast to figure that out. I've just told, just call me names and go the fuck away. Go do whatever it is you do, which is, oh wait, but you're a social justice warrior statist. What you do is you seek out opinions different than yours, and you get offended because, of course, victimhood is your path to power. Anyway, let's talk about victimhood and paths to power and all sorts of other stuff with this Collegian article. This is from a recent edition of the CSU Collegian, October the 26th, and it is entitled Ethnic Studies Opens Students' Eyes to Injustice. Oh my goodness. Oh, the eyes have been opened to the injustice. Said, I have not read this article. I saw the headline. I'm like, I'm saving this. Let's find out about the injustice, shall we? Ethnic studies courses provide a wealth of knowledge in a critical, honest, and translucent. Honest. Oh, I'm dying. All right. Oh, breathe deep. Oh, Randy, call 911. I need oxygen. Ethnic studies courses provide a wealth of knowledge in a critical, honest, and translucent manner. Or at least that is the way Ethnic Studies Junior Natalia Joy sees them. Oh, so in other words, that's just a subjective personal opinion. Okay, sure, as a subjective personal opinion, sure, I can understand why a dumb femistatist might think that Ethnic Studies courses present information, knowledge, in a critical, honest, and translucent manner. I can see how a stupid person would believe that. Regardless of one's interdisciplinary field of study, ethnic study courses may be beneficial in improving one's profound understanding and interaction with the society. By incorporating social justice into the educational field, ethnic studies exemplifies a bridge between the academy and the community. No, by incorporating social justice into education, what you're doing is diluting the education and creating brainwashed idiots. And not just so much brainwashed. But remember, what's the point of public school? The point of public school is to create citizens who are smart enough to work in factories, but not smart enough to think for themselves. And what is the point of college? The point of college is to, in addition to pumping, you know, providing income and money for the colleges and the people that work there, and of course the banking corporations that do the student loans, but the point of college is to create people, citizens, sheeple, who are smart enough to work in cubicles, but not smart enough to think for themselves. Quote, "The world is so much more complicated than it appears on the surface. And ethnic studies really opened up my mind to the way everything works," unquote, Joy said. Wow, the world is more complicated than it appears on the surface. She's just discovered this. Again, 12 years of public education, complete failure. She didn't know the world was, I don't know, a little more complicated than it appears. And now her mind has been opened up to the way everything works. Really, I bet you still believe it's okay for Obama to kill people. I bet you still think it's all right for people to be put in cages for victimless crimes. I bet you still think taxation isn't theft. I mean, your mind has not been opened up to a fucking thing, you stupid femistatist cunt. You're parroting the attitudes and beliefs that you have been told to parrot by people who are using you. By people, I mean, who teaches a class like, what is this, ethnic studies? I mean, think, these are people who can't get a job in the real world actually creating value for other humans. That's why they work teaching ethnic studies classes. Joy is taking on a business minor as well, in hopes of working with nonprofits that advocate for social justice and need employees with accounting skills. Yes, she's going to get a job for a nonprofit, which means she's going to be a parasite, because nonprofits are funded by donations and by tax money and by grants and all this other shit. And furthermore, why don't they already have people who have accounting skills? Why are there people who don't have accounting skills? As I've talked about before, when I was in high school, I didn't learn a hell of a lot because it was high school, public education system, wasn't much going on. But the one thing, though, after all these years looking back, there are two classes I took that have served me as I've gone through life. Both of them were taught by a teacher named Miss Rylander. She's the only, looking back in it, Miss Rylander was the only teacher I had that was worth a shit. Because she taught the two classes that have been actually valuable to me, the classes in which I actually learned something. One of them was typing, useful skill. The other one was accounting. I learned accounting in high school. It's not that fucking hard. Now, I'm not saying I'm an accountant, I'm not a fucking CPA, but accounting basics, not that fucking hard. Once you know the basics, you can figure the rest out. All right, many ethnic studies students go on to get jobs in the criminal justice, law, and social justice fields, using what they learned to help change and implement better policies in our systems, Joy said. Joy said this. Now, Joy, remember, Joy has not graduated. Joy's never had a real job. Joy has no life experience. But Joy is telling us what kind of jobs you can get with an ethnic studies degree. Now, you know what other... Many ethnic studies students, God damn it, I can't talk. You're used to that. Have another drink of martini, that'll help. Many ethnic studies, some people are going, why don't you edit this shit out? because that's not how I roll. If you're thinking that, you're new to this podcast. Many ethnic studies students also go on to get jobs as pizza delivery drivers, baristas, waitresses, and bartenders. And some of them even work for temp agencies doing assorted odd jobs and menial labor. Yes. Now, how in the fuck would Joy know so much about what ethnic studies students go on to do? She's a junior. She has no fucking life experience. How the fuck does she know? And there's another thing. When you're, if you go to college websites and you look at information, you'll see this stuff. They'll be like, international relations major. People with this degree go on to find jobs in, and it'll list these vague fields. Here's a hint. When you're making your decision about what sort of college diploma you're going to spend thousands and thousands of dollars and 4 years of your life acquiring, if somebody has to explicitly tell you that with this diploma, you might get a job in these fields, that's an indicator that the degree is worthless. Speaking of worthless, buy Aaron Cleary's book, Worthless. It's available on Amazon.com, paperback, or Kindle version. Worthless by Aaron Cleary. If you are a 16, 17, 18-year-old high school student, buy this book. If you know somebody who's a 16, 17, 18-year-old high school student, buy this book for them. Save them from destroying their lives by getting a worthless degree. That's Worthless by Aaron Cleary. If you get an education in something which is an actual legitimate skill or trade, you don't have to tell people what sort of jobs they might get. For example, let's say you're going to school for engineering. Nobody has to say, well, people who get a degree in petroleum engineering often get jobs in petroleum engineering. People who get degrees in neurosurgery often get jobs as neurosurgeons, right? If the degree you're getting doesn't make it blatantly obvious what sort of job you're going to get with that degree, that means you're not learning an actual trade or a skill. Petroleum engineering. Skill. International communications. Bullshit. Electrical engineer. Skill. Ethnic studies. Bullshit. Neurosurgery or neurobiology. Skill. Philosophy. Interesting. Important. But bullshit. You can learn philosophy by getting books at the library and reading them on your own. Okay, let me take another drink of martini and then we'll read some more. She has been an ethnic studies major at Colorado State University since her freshman year. So she made this decision when she was 18 years old, stupid and had no life experience. Again, these people prey on stupid children. If this girl was 26 years old and had been working as a fucking house cleaner or something for her entire life and actually wanted to make money, she wouldn't be sitting around going, man, I want to go to ethnic studies. But the colleges prey on young, stupid people who don't know any better. She has been an ethnic studies major at Colorado State University since her freshman year when the course ETST 256, Border Crossings, People, Politics, and Culture was recommended to her. There's a college class in border crossings. She learned how things function behind the scenes and the problems within issues that people generally overlook through topics of global economics, outsourcing, and other societal issues. This eye-opening experience sparked Joy's interest to pursue her college career as an ethnic studies major. The ethnic studies department critically studies the intertwining forms of power underlying in socially constructed categories of class, race, disability, national status, gender, and sexuality, according to their website. Okay, so these are socially constructed classes. Race doesn't really exist. See, white people, black people, yellow people. No, see, that doesn't exist. These are socially constructed. There's no such thing as race. See, disability. Just if you've got somebody who, say, has had both of their legs blown off by a landmine because they were in a war zone created by Hussein Obama, right? See, that's socially constructed. That person's not really disabled. That person can actually walk just like anybody else. The disability is a social construct. National status. Okay, now I might agree that's a social construct, but where does national status come from? Well, it comes from governments. Where do governments come from? Well, democracy. And, oh, stupid fucking femistatus cunts like Joy. Well, she loves democracy. Democracy is wonderful. Democracy is the greatest fucking thing ever. Gender. Now, of course, we know gender is a social construct, right? No such thing as fucking gender. Male, female, those things don't really exist. If you look down between your legs right now, right? Let's say you stick your hand down there, right? And you feel it. Let's say that you feel testicles and a cock. Those aren't really there. See, that's a social construct. Or if you stick your hand down there and you feel a labia and you stick your finger in there and it's like, oh man, there's a hole between my leg. See, that's a social construct. It's not really there. That is a social construct created by heterosexual white men. Well, but wait, how can heterosexual white men oppress other people and control the world? Because heterosexuality and, of course, whiteness and, of course, men, well, these are all social constructs. They don't really exist. This is what I love about the fucking minorities. When they talk about how everybody is equal, and then they turn around and they say heterosexual white men are oppressing everybody. As I've said before, heterosexual white men are obviously, this is called logic, it's too complicated for you, heterosexual white men are superior to everyone else on the planet. If we were not superior, how the fuck would we be able to oppress all of you? Your admission that I, a heterosexual white man, am oppressing you is you saying that I am fucking superior to you. How could I oppress you if I am not your superior? But now you're saying that I don't even exist because things are just social constructs. And since heterosexual white men are, compared to all the other groups of people, these socially constructed groups of people that exist, heterosexual white men are a fragment of the population of the planet Earth. So if a social construct is held in place by society and heterosexual white men who don't really exist because they're a social construct are only a small part of the society, who the fuck is imposing this social construct on the larger part of society? And again, if it's heterosexual white men, then again, you must be saying we are your superiors. Otherwise, how are we imposing these social constructs upon you? But of course, all of this is just racist, sexist, homophobic. If you're still here and you think I'm racist, I don't, why? Why are you here? If you think I'm racist, sexist, homophobic, what the fuck are you? Go the fuck away. Go fucking, just do whatever you do. Go protest heterosexual white men or something. And then, of course, sexuality is a social construct. This is the big push right now. I'll talk about this more in the future. Thank you. But this is the big push right now, as there's a battle for who is going to be the next apex victim. For a long time, the apex victims in our society were, of course, black people. Black people, I think, have finally come to realize that they have been replaced by women. Feminists have managed to make women currently the apex victims in our society. This is from which stems the maxim I have stated multiple times, which is the driving force behind our society in the United States of America, which is that no white woman must ever experience discomfort. But right now there's a huge battle as homo statists are taking apex victim status away from femistatist. And what's even happening, even as that's happening, the tranny statists are attempting to push the homo statist off the top of the mountain so that the tranny statist can be the apex victims, because they've got it all going for them. Either they're a woman who wants to be a man, or they're a man who wants to be a woman. So they've got the woman card, they've got the oppression card, they've got the victim card, they've got all the cards. They are going to be, they are the up and coming apex victims. And of course, all of this is leading to the next apex victims after the tranny statist is, of course, going to be the pedophiles. The pedophiles are positioning themselves with the push right now to allow small children to declare that they are transsexual, to start getting hormone treatments, right? Once all of that happens, once we've established that 10-year-old children can decide what gender they are, we've now established that 10-year-old children can make decisions, sexual decisions about their bodies, which will then lead to the acceptance of 10-year-old children making decisions about who they have sex with, which will then eventually lead to the legalization of pedophilia. That's what all of this is pushing towards. So there's a battle right now for the apex victim, as the femistatists are being pushed off by the homo statist, who are being nudged off by the tranny statist in preparation for the ascension of the pedophile to apex victim status. And of course, none of this really exists, because all of these things, gender, sexuality, well, they're all social constructs. Which is interesting, because the trannies say, well, I was born with the body of a man, but the mind of a woman. Whoa, hold it. Man and woman, that's a social construct. You can't be born with a social construct. Okay, let's get back to reading. Quote, "It gives you a fresh perspective not taught in other departments," unquote, Joy said. Ethnic studies has challenged her. Yeah, it's so challenging being told that you're a victim. That's really fucking challenging. Has challenged her and forced her to reevaluate everything she had known before. Quote, "I feel like I live in a bubble. Engaging in everything I learn in ethnic studies is helping me break that bubble," unquote. You live in a bubble. It's not the bubble you think. I guarantee you, nothing in ethnic studies is helping her realize that taxation is theft. Nothing in ethnic studies is helping her to realize that gun control doesn't prevent people from getting guns. Nothing in ethnic studies is helping her to realize that when people want to do mass shootings of other people, they go to gun-free zones in order to do it. Nothing is helping her understand and break out of her bubble that killing people isn't okay when Obama does it, or the police do it, or the military does it, just because it's their job. I love it when people claim that they're becoming enlightened when they are in fact becoming stupider than ever. And this is a huge problem in our society, is the inability of the inferior people to distinguish stupidity from enlightenment. Joy said, courses in ethnic studies challenge the mind by giving students information completely different than what is generally found in course curriculum. Just because information is different doesn't mean it's good. I mean, I could present you information that the Holocaust never happened. Okay, this is different from the narrative. This idea that, you know, this is the whole, well, different is good. Well, no, if different doesn't have anything to do with reality, it's not a good thing. When you're told that the social justice, right, when you're told that all men who play video games are misogynist, this may be different information, but it's not true. When you're told that heterosexual white men are oppressing everybody else, even though if you look at the laws of this country, everything, all of our laws and our society is all geared towards making sure women don't experience discomfort and making sure women get shit tons of free stuff and shit tons of money given to them. Again, remember, WIC, Women, Infants, and Children, has women and children right in there. Doesn't say anything about men. Our whole society is geared towards taking money, time, resources away from men and women who are productive and transferring it to women who are not productive. Women who are single mothers, women who teach at colleges, women who work at nonprofits. And furthermore, in addition to all of this, you're being told that not only are heterosexual white men oppressing everybody, which is clearly not happening, because as I've said before, if you look, this is not a world that I'm a heterosexual white man. If I were running the world, this is not what the world would look like. This is not it. Not only are you being told as a dumb femistatist bitch in ethnic studies classes that heterosexual white men control the world, but at the same time you're being told that heterosexuality, whiteness, and manness don't even actually exist. So what you're being told is that you are being controlled by a group of people who are just a social construct. And this is not an eye-opening experience. This is you having no fucking critical thinking skills. None whatsoever. They learn about the fundamental dynamics behind discrimination, inequalities, oppression, and how they can work to improve these conditions for individuals in the society. No, they're learning how to perpetuate these things. Because if you remove, my God, let me repeat myself for the 1,000,000th fucking time. Power in society today comes from being a victim. People want to be discriminated against. People want inequalities. People seek oppression because that gives them victim status, and victim status gives them power. Nobody wants to end discrimination, inequalities, and oppression. People want more victimhood because the victimhood is what gives them power. A woman who has not been raped has no power. A woman who has been raped gets sympathy, she gets counseling, she gets all kinds of people paying attention to her, she can accuse a man of raping her, even if he didn't actually rape her, the man will be put into a fucking cage. She gets all of this attention and power, and she gets it by being a victim. You take away the victimhood, and the femistatist has no source of power. The woman who claims that she was oppressed at work, She gets power from this oppression. She gets investigators coming in. She gets attention from the HR department. She files a lawsuit against the workplace. She has lawyers paying attention to her and talking to her, and she's in the courtroom and the cameras are on. She gets all this power and attention from being discriminated against in the workplace. A woman who just shows up and does her work and accomplishes things, well, she doesn't get all of that attention and power, does she? Most of the classes are based on discussions where students seek to understand the issues in the community using approaches and information that are not taught in history books. Because, of course, history is evil, but then, of course, also because history as it's taught today is really not that much different from ethnic studies and social warrior justicing. Social justicing warrioring. Social justice warrioring. Quote, I realize how harsh the world is every time I go to class, and I learn about things in our society I wish didn't exist. But I hope that one day I will be able to use what I learn and help change the world. Unquote. Said Joy. Oh, Joy. Oh, Joy. Joy, Joy, Joy. Oh, train going by. Oh, Joy. There are things in the world you wish didn't exist. Oh, my. And one day you might change them. Oh, yeah. Yeah, working for your nonprofit, getting government. What are you going to fucking change? Actually, you're going to change things because you're going to continue to brainwash young people. That's sad. Jesus Christ, train. We know you're there. Thank you. Fucking land whales. Jeez. The scary part is, as the train finally goes away, Joy is going to accomplish these things because she is part of the movement, which is brainwashing young people, and they're getting to kids and they're telling them this shit, you know, like gender doesn't exist and sexuality is a social construct and race is a social construct and global warming and yada 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 fucking yada. Ethnic studies is about diversity and understanding the underlying factors behind oppression within societies. No, it's not. First of all, it is not about diversity because if I showed up and said anything that I ever say on this podcast, I would instantly be removed from the environment and quite possibly removed from campus by the police. There is no fucking diversity of thought or opinion on a college campus. That diversity does not exist, and it will exist even less in the future. And of course, the factors behind oppression in society stem mostly from the state. I challenge you to show me some oppression that doesn't happen with the state behind it enforcing it. Quote, one unique and important thing is the way it promotes diversity because you are getting the voice of minorities, unquote, said ethnic studies professor Benjamin Schrader. Yes, because nobody ever hears minorities. Minorities never get to fucking talk. Like, you never, there's no minorities on the internet, no minorities on YouTube, no minorities ever get on the news. There's no minorities on the Jerry Springer show. There are not any minorities never get their opinions. They're constantly oppressed. That's why they get fucking special laws to protect them. That's why they get laws giving them jobs when they don't deserve them. That's why they have laws getting them into college when their grades are lower. That's why they get welfare and wealth redistribution. You know, if race is a social construct and all this other shit and doesn't exist, why is it every government form has a fucking checkbox for what color your skin is? Yeah, minorities, just completely fucking ignored. Nobody is ever, and again, remember, minority refers to anybody who is not heterosexual white, and a man. Again, people who are not heterosexual white men are the majority of the population of the planet Earth. Not just the planet Earth, but the majority of the population of the United States. Heterosexual white men do not comprise 50% or more of the population of the United States. Heterosexual white men are the fucking minorities. Now, they'll say, but they have all the top jobs. Yeah, well, yeah, because we're more competent, because we don't sit around fucking, well, not, actually, of course, there are heterosexual white men who are fucking losers. But heterosexual white men are less likely to sit around and whining about victimhood and more likely to go out and fucking do stuff. That's why we have the positions of power. Because we're not sitting around waiting for somebody to come wipe our asses for us. We go get our own fucking toilet paper and we wipe our asses ourselves. What? You're shitting me. All right, thank you. Randy's informing me we're nearing the end of the podcast. I have an entire stack of shit. I haven't even got through one article yet. It's going to be a long, long fucking road to getting through this pile. Have I mentioned that I'm long-winded? All right. Delving into ethnic studies helped Schrader expand the way in which he viewed different cultures and the powers within his own dominant white culture. So here we have a little bit of fucking white guilt going on. White guilt always makes me fucking nauseous. For the record, again, I have no white guilt. No fucking guilt. I've never owned a slave, never sold a slave. I don't support the United States of America, the country, the flag, the government under which the slaves were brought to this country, brought to this continent, sold to other people, the country, the flag, the government under which the Indians were exterminated, under which the Indians were put in concentration camps, the government, the flag, under which the Japanese people were put in concentration. I have no white guilt. I have no white guilt whatsoever, because unlike you, I don't support the government that killed off the Indians, put them on reservations, put Japanese people in concentration camps, sold black people and non-black people as well as slaves, forcibly brought those people to this nation, did the Tuskegee experiment. I don't support that government. You do. I understand why you have white guilt. If you have white guilt, why don't you just kill yourself? Take all of your property, all your money, all your possessions, give it to a black person, and then shoot yourself. But you're not going to do this because, of course, your white guilt is your source of power. Your white guilt makes you a victim, and it gets you attention, just like this. Schroeder, whatever the fuck his name is, if he didn't have white guilt, nobody would give a fuck about him, and his name wouldn't be in the newspaper. Schrader said, ethnic studies analysis can be used to understand the reality of many issues in our world today. Issues. Oh, the issues. In 2014, there were less than 1% of liberal arts students majoring in ethnic studies. So what? It's a stupid, worthless degree. That's good. With just 32 students in the department, it's no wonder why many students may not be familiar with what is taught in these courses. Or maybe they just don't want to waste their life hearing bullshit. Joy said many students do not know what the ethnic students that. Joy said many students do not know what ethnic studies is and what can be done with the major. Nothing can be done with the major. It's a worthless fucking degree. You're going to get a job delivering pizza. Quote, it is a great major to pair with something else because social justice can be implemented in many disciplinary fields, unquote, Joy said. Again, she's an expert on what can be done with this degree. She ain't out of college yet. She doesn't have a real job, but she's telling us that this degree is really valuable because you can do so much with it. She doesn't have the degree. She hasn't done anything with the degree. Because she doesn't have it yet. She has no practical life experience, but she's giving advice. Okay, that's cool. Although Joy said it is a brutally honest and straightforward field, she's a stupid fucking cunt if she believes that. There's nothing honest about this. It is straightforward in the sense that everybody who is not a heterosexual white man is a victim. She recommends that everyone takes an ethnic studies course at some point in their college careers. Quote, "This major has really helped me mold into the person I am today." Unquote. Well, if being molded into a stupid femistatist cunt who has no reasoning skills and believes that she's being oppressed by heterosexual white men who don't actually exist because heterosexuality, whiteness, and manness are all social constructs. I mean, if that's what she's been molded into, and if she thinks that's a good thing, well, there's always room for dumbass opinions. And that's why democracy is such a great thing, because people like her get to vote. And that's how people like Obama, like Hillary Clinton, get to be president of the United States, get to make decisions about who lives and who dies, get to spend shit tons of money. Not that Congress doesn't help with all of that stuff, because, you know, Congress got there by being elected by morons also. Holy shit, that was the end of that. Oh, fuck. Ethnic studies. People, you gotta stop getting worthless degrees. You gotta stop. You don't gotta do anything. You're not going to do it. And again, this is why this is the cynical libertarian. After all this time, I'm not a libertarian anymore, because we know libertarian is what Republicans call themselves now, because Republican is a dirty word. I am an anarcho-capitalist, not changing the name because cynical anarcho-capitalist society doesn't sound as cool. But this is where the cynicism comes from. It's over. Aaron Clary's book, Enjoy the Decline. Buy it. Read it. It's over with. Okay, the United States of America is in decline. It's over. We're done. It's sunk. There's no saving it. There's no saving it. This nation, we're fucked. And I just don't give a shit. I don't bother with the other side. I'm always right. Happy anniversary to me. 11 motherfucking years. Yes, I am a god.